Thank you, Dan. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was a beautiful day out there today. I want to start in 1 Corinthians. I want to start in the second chapter. Twelfth through the 15th verse. Twelfth through the 15th verse. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judge all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It seems kind of strange that I'd put this message together and then on our bulletin that my brother had put in about the Spirit. The spirit of the world, is that what we are? Everywhere I look, I see great trials in our people's lives, even in my own. And I found that I had failed in many instances when tribulation came upon me. And I wondered if God had forsaken me in my lack of faith. Yet I go on, and in the third chapter, I'm going to read 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? That scripture hit me pretty hard because we have strifes, we have divisions amongst us. And so I realized that's all we have is the milk. And I wondered, why are we only given milk? I've heard people say that in our church that we're dead spiritually, that we're a do-nothing church. I want to go to Moroni, page 763. And I want to read the ninth verse. And their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them, whether to preach or exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. They were conducted by the workings of the Spirit. And those people that say that we're dead of the Spirit. Then you've got to go back and you read 7 and 8. And they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them, and whosoever was found to commit iniquity, and three witnesses of the church did condemn them before the elders, and if they repented not and confessed not their names, were blotted out. And they were not numbered among the people of Christ, but as oft as they repented and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven. I had another brother say to me, he says, people say your church is too hard. You can't get divorced, can't drink alcohol, you can't smoke. Really? We have iniquity amongst us, and we know we do. Our statistics aren't that much better than anyone else. Let's go to 711, page 711 in the Book of Mormon. And there were many mighty miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles. And if there were miracles wrought, then why has God ceased to be God, a God of miracles, and yet to be unchangeable being? And behold, I say unto you, he changeth not. If so, he would cease to be God. And he ceaseth not to be God, and is a God of miracles. And the reason why he ceases to do miracles among the children of men is because that they dwindle in unbelief and depart from the right way and know not the God of whom they should trust. Behold, I say unto you that whosoever believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask of the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him. And this promise is unto all, even unto the ends of the earth. Pretty plain. Hebrews, 3rd chapter. Third chapter, 12th verse. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. So let's go back to some basics. And I want to start in the first chapter of Genesis. And I want to start in the 26th verse. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Okay? You understand that? But then you go to the second chapter in the first verse, and it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And then we go down to the fifth verse, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But he said he just created. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It was two separate creations. Just hold that thought for a second. Go to John, the fourth chapter, 23rd verse and 24th. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In our image after our likeness. Let's go to Jeremiah, first chapter. Fifth verse. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now that's an interesting scripture. And I don't know whether any of you have really thought about that scripture that much. You notice the word formed. But not only that, he gave him his gifts before he came forth. I believe that we are spiritual beings trapped in a physical body. We're a few minerals and a lot of water. But God is interested in that dust, in that spirit, I should say. And I believe that's why drugs and alcohol have such an effect on our mind. Because it changes the chemical balance, chemical makeup in the brain. And that battle for our souls is won and lost in our minds. Matthew 5. And you all are familiar with this. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. It's that war in our minds. Messiah. The second chapter. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin, for there are divers ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words, your thoughts and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. Our thoughts. There are many things that vex our soul and keep us from having that relationship with our God. And you all know it. Acts, the second chapter. Just going to read one verse out of there, and that's the 17th verse. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. You know, I believe that God gives us those gifts. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I believe you all know what that chapter is. First verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as were led. Wherefore I give unto you understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. I want to stop right there. We have gone in the last 100 years, and he said in the last days that he would pour out a Spirit upon all flesh. We have gone in these last 100 years to unspeakable, unthinkable things. But yet the Holy Ghost is only given to those that believe. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. You see, there's two sets of spirits. And I want to go through that. Let's go to Revelation, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to read a little bit before, because otherwise you won't understand, and it may be to be taken out of context. After this, the 4th chapter, I'm going to start in the first verse. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And I immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, I'm sorry. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Let's go to the 5th chapter. First verse, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And it was after his ascension into heaven, because he was that lamb that was slain, and we know who that was. How do you explain what the Holy Ghost is? Seven eyes and seven horns. Sees everything. What are horns for that animals use? For protection. To protect us. Ephesians 6th chapter. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For he wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We see in these last days that people say that good is bad, or good is evil, and evil is good. We know that the time is short. And we wonder why lies are so prevalent. How's our lives? Are we honest in everything? Are we always doing the right thing? Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8. Sixth verse. For to be carnally minded is death, but be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. My brother said this morning about coming out of this Babylon and the loftiness, the pride that seems to kill more of our members than anything else. When we feel that we are far greater than we ought to feel or think. But spiritually minded is life. So how do we get there from here? Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Second verse. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is one of my most favorite scriptures. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. I had a relationship like that with my God. When I was brokenhearted, and I had a contrite spirit, and I knew that I was nothing, and I still realize that I am nothing. I'm going to read that fifth verse again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Sound simple? Not even. It requires a relationship with your God. Let's go to page 707 in the Book of Mormon. Let's see. I'm going to start in the 29th verse. That's chapter 4 of Mormon. And he, knowing their prayers, that they were in the half of their brethren, were in behalf of their brethren, and he, knowing their faith, for in the name could they remove mountains, and in his name could they cause the earth to shake, and by the power of his word did they cause prisoners to tumble to the earth. Yea, even the fiery furnace could not harm them, neither wild beasts nor poisonous serpents, because of the power of his word. And behold, their prayers were also in behalf of him that the Lord should suffer to bring these things forth. And no one need say, they shall not come, for they shall surely be of the Lord hath spoken it. For out of the earth shall they come by the hand of the Lord, and none can stay it. And it shall come in a day when it shall be said that miracles are done away, and shall come even as if one should speak from the dead. And it shall come in a day when the blood of the saints shall cry unto the Lord because of secret combinations and the works of darkness. Look. We see these things around us. And my brother said this morning about our lives being taken back from the world. You know, and I'm going to tell you, if you are subject or you have the Spirit of God with you, you can also be deceived by that other spirit. Exodus, the 7th chapter. Through 13. And Moses and Aaron, and this was where they went before Pharaoh. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh hardened his heart. And many times these things happen. The sorcerers could do the same things. Except for one thing. They couldn't stop the curse. They could make it happen, but they couldn't stop it. They couldn't rid them of the curses. Second Corinthians, 11th chapter. Fifteenth. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. It's got to put the fear in you. You know, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Brothers and sisters, I tell you what, I know that I am nothing, and that God sustains me. And I do try and work out my salvation with fear and trembling, because I've seen what my Lord and Master has done to people. The loftiness of man, as my brother said this morning. His pride is arrogance. And I find that we have a portion of that too. And it seems that we can lose our way so easily. 1 John. The 4th chapter, first verse through the 3rd. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Therefore, ye have heard that it should come, and even now, already, is it in the world? How do we try the Spirit? When we pray and we think that God has told us something, do we test that Spirit? And how do we test it? I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. If it's so easy to be deceived, and it says even the very elect will be deceived, we need to know who our Master is. We need to know our Scriptures. Because He's an unchanging God. 1 Timothy. Fourth chapter. First verse. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving, of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. It's talking about these times. Departing from the faith. Who is it that rules our lives? It should be a no-brainer. It's not my wife. I know you guys may think that. Page 223 in the Book of Mormon. Forty-third verse. I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. How many of us do that? I must admit, I'm not very good at that. But I know that I need to get better at that. When I lost that job at the hospital, it really hurt. Because I felt like I was doing something for the Lord. I would offer a prayer to people, even though I was just in maintenance. I would stop by, I would talk to people and give them a scripture in the morning, and then come back at noon and ask them what it meant. I had the opportunity to grow like I had never grown before. I was really thankful for that. And I was devastated when I lost that job. Because I know that God had given me that job. but he also took it away for a reason. And I have my suspicions why. But I finally understood what he wanted of me. I felt that I had no gifts, or very few, until my friend and my brother, one time I told him that what I said, what I just told you. And he said to me, he says, you have the ability to walk up to anyone and become friends with them. He said, most people don't have that. And I realized it was a gift. And I was thankful for my brother's wisdom in telling me that. And so I grew. And I hope that I get another job like that. I want to serve my God. Titus, second chapter. If I find it. Sorry about that. 12th verse through the 14th. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessing, blessed hope, and the gracious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That is my hope for us all. I want to just finish up with a couple of scriptures, but I want you to go back to Job. If I can find it. Yeah. I want to go to the first chapter. Eight through verse 22. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for now? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking. You know all the things that happened to him. And I'm going to skip down to the 21st and 22nd verse. And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Our scriptures give me comfort. When I first came into the gospel, I used to tell the Lord when tribulation would come upon me, I am not Job. It was my immaturity as a Christian. It really was. And I understand that 22nd verse, in all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. God giveth and God taketh away. Page 218 in the Book of Mormon, and this is the last one. Verse 119 through 122. For the natural man is the enemy of God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. And moreover, I would say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout all every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord Jesus omnipotent. We serve an awesome God. I truly am thankful for your time. I appreciate you coming, and I hope that you receive something out of this message. Thank you very much, and God bless.